Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to another edition of Geek Culture Congress. I'm one of your hosts, as always, Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by my good friend, Michaela Fig.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm great. Mr. Joey Franchise, world famous DJ and influencer. How you doing, sir?
Amazing. Amazing.
You're amazing. Great. And of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the very funny and talented Mr. Tarek Lewis. How you doing, sir?
I had to switch to bottled water because Joey accused me of drinking on the show last time. So I got to be clear that this is water. It may be tequila in here also, but.
It could be. It could be vodka, too. Are you toxic vodka? Vodka versus tequila?
I'm a brown liquor person.
okay. So, good. No, we can hang them.
You know.
Welcome to another edition of Geek Culture Congress. And of course, we're talking about our favorite subject, ladies and gentlemen. If you have seen episode 2 of Falcon and Winter Soldier, we're going to spoil some things and talk about it first. But I guess, of course, before we actually start spoiling anything, starting with you, Michaela, how'd you like the episode?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hate John Walker. Can we all agree to that?
Yeah. But, you know, he's a prick in the comic book too.
Of course, yeah, I think pretty well.
Yeah,
this episode.
He wasn't an asshole. Like he was I was assuming he was going to be a douche,
right?
But I was like, then I see the episode. I'm like, yo, this guy, he's actually a nice guy. Why are they being mean to him? let him live.
What do you say, Tarek?
I like the episode, and I didn't hate John Walker either. I think he's just being used.
Like
Yeah.
I think he's a good plot device. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yeah, we've been dying for a Captain America without lips.
Without teeth.
My wife was watching the show and she was confused. She was like, that's not the same Captain America that came out at the end of the first episode. And I was like, yes, it is, babe. You're not, because you're looking at him without the mask on. So it's not it's not holding his chin like this.
That's why.
That's why.
You know who he is, right? That's Kurt Russell's kid.
That is.
Kurt Russell's son.
Interesting, because he was Ego to Living Planet. Now he's brought into the MCU. Look at that family ties.
Look at that family all in the MCU.
That's why he's able to throw that thing like that.
Right?
Anyway.
it's in the blood.
Oh, man. First episode, we got a little teaser of him. And then, of course, at the end of episode 2, we got another teaser, and we'll talk about that later. But diving into this episode, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to spoil the crap out of Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 2. So if you're not up to point, what's up to Red Lodge 5? What up? We are live on Checkpoint XP. If you feel like you want to chime in on the conversation, feel free to do so. I am monitoring the chat here and there while switching and running the show here and all the technical stuff. And feel free to talk more. 4 more shows, 160 minutes, Red Lodge says, of Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I'm excited, man. I really like the compare and contrast to what we had with WandaVision and now this kind of show. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It just shows the range of
MCU. Yeah. This is like what we're used to. Yeah. WandaVision was way off.
It shows the range of the kind of shows that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is trying to do and you know, all kinds of different directions that they're going to go. And I really liked, help me out, Tara, because I forget the Black Captain America. Or if we're going into the spoilers now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, there were 2 Black Captain Americas.
Yeah,
Isaiah.
What was his name? Was
Bradley. Isaiah Bradley.
Isaiah Bradley. Yeah.
Yes.
Why'd you just assume that Tarek knew the Black Captain America?
Saw the bullshit.
Because he was the next person in line for me to kick it off.
I know you know this.
Yeah.
We're fresh out of February. I know you have to know this.
Plus, you know, I went to the expert, you know? Come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, see, you're making it weird.
Listen, you don't have to make it weird, bro.
So, did you notice that his nephew is also another Captain America that we're possibly going to have in the future? I don't know if anybody caught that deep cut.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Eli Bradley.
Yeah.
He's Patriot in the comics.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I really like the undertones and just the way that the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of like touched the pulse of, you know, things that are happening and, you know, the talk about race and in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, how it is to be black and all that stuff, you know, even the first episode, you know what I mean?
Right.
Falcon's trying to get a loan and all that stuff to this episode. I mean, you know, he have an argument with his partner in the middle of the street and the cops rolling up on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, I really enjoyed I enjoyed the storytelling that they're trying to do, and it's very bold. And I give kudos to Marvel for doing something like that. What do you say, Joy?
I totally agree. I think they are, in a sense, like woke. You know what I mean? On the situation and seeing like the like keeping it modern and being in the times that we're in. Them kind of shining light on a situation like that, because like why wouldn't we know about a black Captain America that came up right after Steve Rogers went in the ice? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So that, and it's crazy how the government kept that under wraps, and we get that storytelling. In this episode with Isaiah Bradley, again, a nice little nod to the comics. A lot of Easter eggs in this episode, too, which I really appreciated. I think what was really cool of them telling it is just like what they're going to open up is what I'm assuming is pretty much, you know, Falcon wanting to take that mantle, seeing what Isaiah Bradley has been through and knowing how important it is for a man of his stature to really have that shield, and why Steve actually
represent. Yeah.
Why Steve gave him the shield in the first place. So I really like where Marvel's going, and I can't wait for episode 3.
What do you think, Michaela? You like this episode?
I thought it made it feel very current and made it feel relatable, because I feel like other superhero, I'm going to blame DC a little bit, they have an issue with being more relatable to, you know, current things that are going on in the world right now, instead of it just being like, all these people have powers, but we're still living in technically America.
Yeah.
So they gotta touch on those things, that we're not all living at Avengers campus the whole time.
Right.
We're living in the real world.
In the real world, yeah. We're some real world problems to Marvel. Marvel's always been great about that, even in the comic book form. Tarek, how you feel about the way the storytelling is going right now in episode 2?
I'm gonna slightly disagree with the floor here. I thought that the incident with the police was a little forced.
Yeah,
I think it was so. Like a little like it wasn't very natural. Like, I the Isaiah Bradley aspect, I like that. That makes sense. Yeah. Like, if you go back in history, like that's going to be, it would be a big deal if they have Black African America in the mid-50s. You know, it'd be like, what's going on? I think they didn't need to do the thing with the cop thing. I don't know, but it didn't bother me. But I just didn't think it was like. I thought it was more placating. It felt like okay, we're gonna make the statement. No one can say we didn't make the statement. That's what I felt when I saw it. But it didn't make me upset. I did enjoy the storytelling. I like the contrast of Bucky and Falcon versus Captain America, the new Captain America, and what was his name? Bravestar? Not Bravestar.
Yeah, Battlestar.
Battlestar. I like the contrast of those two dynamics of like one. One group's like mad military and by the book, and you know, clearly Falcon and Winter Soldier are outside of the book.
I think a lot of undertones of the same problem of Winter Soldier and of Civil War. You know, things that Captain America was already dealing with you know, or you're going to be a government guy, or you're going to be, you know, a rebel and doing what you want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and it took Steve Rogers some time to go away from that as well. So, yeah. But John Walker, no, he's always going to be by the book. I mean, the guy is, you know, live, breathe, bleed, military.
Right.
Do you think that Steve Rogers had no idea that, because obviously the super soldier thing is going to be a theme, and we'll talk about that in the future, because one of the, when we get into the Mikey Sutton scoops, a couple of them that we picked out, we're going to talk about today. It's obviously a theme to build towards more stuff and more characters and more, even the mutant question and all that stuff. So, I mean, do you think that Captain America, the original Captain America, when he went to go live his life with his wife, you know, at the end of an end game, he had no idea these things were happening? You know what I mean?
He knew. He already kept the secret from Tony Stark that his parent died from at Bucky's hand. Mm. He knew things, and he's not talking.
What do you say, Tarek? You got an inquisitive face on there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. He absolutely knew. Yeah, he knows all this. He may not know about the what are they called? The Flag Snatchers. He may not know about them.
Right.
Because that seems like that's something that happened more recently. He clearly didn't know about the other Winter Soldiers, and he didn't know about Winter Soldier at first. But I think he definitely knew about Isaiah Bradley and you know, more attempts to make the Super Soldier serum. I think he knew.
Right.
Well, if he went back, well, it could have been a different timeline, but if he went back and he lived his life, he had to have known. Especially if his wife is still working for the military.
Yeah.
She's got, they got to know, because she had to be the front line of administering that serum to someone else.
And not only in the United States government, and we're talking about implications, we're talking about what about Canada having a Weapon X program?
Yeah,
what about, you
yeah.
know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is just a Pandora's box of Marvel storytelling, just with the Super Soldier serum. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mikhail, you're bringing up a good point. We're always assuming that he married Sharon Carter. And I wonder if he did. It may not have been Sharon Carter.
He was a Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
He really went for Sharon when he got older.
He went back in time to get Rousseau his oats. Well,
yeah.
What do you say, Joey?
You know, I think he had to have known. I kind of agree with the congregation that he does know, because I mean, he avenges in the ship, in the Quinn, was it not the Quinjet, the other one, the other big ship, the Shield in the air. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, he was like, he went through all the documents and found out like what, you know, Nick was up to and what they were trying to do with the Tesseract and
right.
things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So he had to have known things like that in that sense. I wasn't sure if he knew about, he just didn't know that Bucky was the Winter Soldier, correct? Until.
Right. He didn't know he was still alive. Cause
right.
Right.
Until Winter
so
Soldier.
He probably knew somebody was assassinating all these people.
Right.
But he just didn't know that Bucky was the guy doing it.
Yeah.
That
definitely
makes sense.
I'm sure that the Captain America that we all know and love, that went through the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe all the way up to Endgame, didn't know anything. But I do that the older one that came back, that returned to give the shield to Falcon. Guarantee he had to have, or at least had an idea, or at least known some history that this happened, because he lived it again. You know what I mean?
And we don't know.
That's why he gave the shield. That's why he gave the shield.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. That's
just make up. I'm kidding.
And we don't know.
I got dirt on that shield.
Yeah. We don't know the extent of that conversation. Like the conversation they had at the bench. Like what was the extension of that conversation? He just hands him the shield and just leaves?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the
deeper he still exists in this world, right? Are we going to see him?
Apparently he, it's a secret, because remember the first episode of Falcon's buddy, or the guy from the military that was helping him out on a mission. Remember, he kept asking him questions about Captain America. Yeah. Torres. And he was just kind of like, I don't know. But it seems like Falcon really does know whether Steve Rogers is still alive or not, you know, living in a retirement home or something.
What if what if he's frozen again?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what that question is? Who knows how to answer that question? We won't know until the show progresses. I guarantee you there's got to be. If Chris Evans doesn't come out in the old makeup in one of these episodes, it's kind of like, let me tell you what really happened. You know what I mean?
Right,
you know what I'm saying? It's got to be one of those scenes that happens in this show.
Sidebar, what needs to happen.
Sidebar.
Because, you know, there was rumors, you know, rumblings that Chris Evans would come back and play Captain America. What I would like to see is them tell the story of him bringing back all the stones. Like, that would be an amazing Captain America
movie.
Returned.
How
he came back, yeah.
There you go. That's the thing. I think that's the direction that we have to go. What do you think, Tarek?
I'm going along with what Joey said. I think he knew about all these things before he went back in time. I think he
That's
knew
what
about.
I'm saying.
I think the whole Winter Soldier movie changed Captain America as we know it. Mm. He was no longer the Boy Scout. From then on, he was a little darker Captain America, which explains why he was the way he was in Civil War. Like, I think he knew from then on. I don't think going back in time was when he found out about Isaiah Bradley. I think he started researching, and all the SHIELD secrets came out, and he was on top of it.
When he was kind of like the nomad, kind of like no anti-government kind of guy. The Captain America we got reintroduced to again in Infinity War.
Yeah. Hipster Captain America is a little different than pre-Civil War Captain America. Yeah,
I agree.
And real quick, like, you know, Bucky, it surprised me that Bucky, while being under Hydra's mind control, he remembered Isaiah Bradley. I'm not sure if Bucky remembers anything he does after he does the things that he does.
Interesting.
You get what I'm saying? So I wonder if like Cap maybe reminded him at some point. I don't know. Like back in time, reminded Bucky, or because you know at the end of the movie, you know, Bucky was the only one that knew what Cap was went.
That's true.
You saw how his face, his demeanor kind of like changed. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
Red Lodge 5 says, Mikey Sutton said, Chris will come back as Steve Rogers only, not Captain America. Well, you know, that things
Who
change.
Who wants to see a wrinkly man in the
yeah,
suit?
Yeah, but things change. Things change. Things get rewritten. Things get things change from here to then. Who knows how they're actually going to execute, you know, what they're able to get away with.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
He's going to reprise his role as Johnny Storm. Fantastic Four.
I think if he does that in like Wars, I'd be cool with that. You know,
they're going to do it like WandaVision. It's going to be like all in the family, and Cap's going to be Archie Bunker, and then like Falcon going to be George Jefferson. Yeah.
Before we finish up with Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 2, I want to talk quick about the flag smashers.
Yeah,
flag smashers, right?
I
think it's interesting. Their trauma, they're trying to bring back the time that there was less people on Earth.
Blip,
you right. know what I mean? The blip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's like it's kind of like it's a compare and contrast to kind of what we live right now in a quarantine time. You know what I mean? Where right. we were isolated, they were very isolated. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, and they just want to return back to those times. I wonder what it was. I mean,
it was government related.
Yeah, was it government related or what? I mean, what was so better about the Earth and the world then?
I think it was just because it was more unified. I mean, you saw that when Endgame started, you know, they're doing the groups, you know, right. Cap was being like a mentor or a mediator or, mm-hmm. you know, like in a focus group
right,
to kind of have help people deal with the blip and everybody disappearing. So I think it was just more unified. Now they want to bring it there. I don't think it's a malicious. It looks malicious, but
turn malicious.
Let's just say they're very aggressive on getting their point across on what they want the world to look mm-hmm. like.
I mean, even to the point where the one guy, you know, pretty much sacrificed himself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, just to let his
dedication.
Group get away.
It's
yeah,
like,
it's a big dedication because you know we don't know the personal history between all these. I don't think we have gotten to the personal history of the Flag Smasher group,
right?
And especially the main female character. I forget her name, Erin
yeah,
something.
Me too.
But anyway, she's or Carly something.
Mm.
So she's you know, she obviously is going to have a story that's going to get told somewhere down the road.
Right.
And I just think when, you know, kind of what Falcon was dealing with in the beginning, like dude couldn't get alone. Like, and I'm pretty sure like during the blip, a lot of people were more unified. Things were a little bit more lenient. And now everything's getting back. You know, everybody came back now. Like, oh, let's get back to business and, you know, screwing people over again and things like that.
Her name is Carly. Carly Morgenthau.
Carly Morgan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
I agree with Speedy. I agree with Joey. Okay. I think that it's a situation. If there was a way to call them like the Thanos delegation, I think that's what they would be. I think Thanos snapped half the world, and some people were like, "This actually is better." And
they took for granted the children of Thanos.
You're right. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Some people come back, and they put them. You know, it's moved everybody probably back down the economic ladder and moved everyone around when it's back to the way it was. And everyone is happy with it that way. Seemingly the people who are on top are, but there's people who are like, we did unify and come back together. Which is an interesting spin on Flag Smashers. It's better than the range.
I like the range of the episode of just like the, you know, the human experience, you know, like, and the topics that they kind of like, all hit in just one episode, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And made it all kind of flow. And I do agree that one little police scene was kind of like shoehorned in, like, do we really need to do that? But then, when it happened, I was like, are we really doing this? But then, you know, look, I appreciate how it turned out.
It was a blip. It was a little blip.
Yeah.
By the way, this is random. I've been rewatching the Marvel films. I watched Iron Man the other night.
Yeah.
And great thing I noticed is that there's a point period where a bomb lands next to Tony, and it's a Stark Industries one. Right. And he's like kind of waiting for it to explode. And it just ran in my mind. I was like, oh, that's what happened to Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch and Pietro. It's the same exact thing happened. I never tied that in together years ago. I don't know why I didn't. I wanted to allude to that. Great job, Marvel, on tying things in.
Yeah, it was great how they bring it all together. Talk about something else that was a great job. It was a great watch on my Sunday night. I watched all three episodes of Invincible, the animated show Crow created by Robert Kirkman from Walking Dead fame. Mm-hmm. And I know Michaela has not finished episode one yet, so we cannot spoil.
No, you can spoil. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. You can spoil it. I give you free reign to spoil it. Right.
But you said you're familiar with the comic book, so I don't
think
of it.
I am familiar.
Yeah. So, Tarek, did you watch it all?
I did. I watched all three episodes.
Yeah. What about you, Joey? Yeah.
No, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but definitely on my list to do because I know Seth Rogen is an executive producer.
Yes, he is.
And he's a character in it, no?
I think so.
Like a small character.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
J.K. Simmons is in it. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
J.K. Simmons is definitely in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely.
Definitely, I enjoyed all three episodes. I thought it was well done. I really liked how they were able to make an animated show, make it adult, do it right, execute it, and because if they were to try to do this with like a live, if they were just jumped to like a live action version of the show, I don't know if it would have taken off because there's a lot in this. Story that happens, you know, and it's very hard to do in a live action, I think, nowadays. It was very easier it seemed like a very easier to go to because it's a very violent story.
They'd have to do the level of the boys, they would fail.
I think they probably could have done it. I'm sure with definitely a bigger, but with a normal budget though, they're able to take a chance with this kind of story and see if people like it, and then say, okay, maybe if it pops, and now we could do a live action of it version of it. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, it gave a chance for this new kind of story that's not Marvel or DC to people to be exposed to it and say, oh, I really do like this, or maybe I don't. Maybe it just stays as what it is animated, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, I think if it was live, it would be too similar to The Boys.
Mm, right. True. It is kind of, it's very similar, very similar to The Boys in certain aspects. Definitely in the violence.
Yeah. But I enjoyed
it
without giving.
Right? Like Homelander almost?
Yeah. Yeah, the father's very similar to Homelander.
It has similar themes. Without spoiling it. but it's its own story. It's definitely its own story.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say the main character is very much like.
I mean, if you're saying Seth Rogen is a producer of it, of course it's going to be pretty similar.
I would say the main characters, all the characters are I can't say the word, but like a mix and match of some of our favorite characters combined into one.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the characters, a lot of the superhero characters and supervillains and stuff like that.
They borrowed
two or three things from different guys, put them together, and made it one character. Like there's this one that's not spoiling anything. There's one character who's the demon detective.
Yeah,
yeah. So the demon detective is kind of like Hellboy. If I put Hellboy and Constantine into one, mm-hmm. that's the demon detective. You know what I mean? So that's just one example. And I'd say the main character, Invincible. I would say like if we're going to put like a Superboy and Superman together, kind of like that, you know, maybe with a little bit of some other teen superheroes.
Well, episode one, I don't know if you guys watched this because I watched it as a Disney movie, but Sky High, it kind of reminded me of the boy, you know, trying to get his abilities like his father.
I definitely watched Sky High. I'm a proponent of Sky High as a film, by the way. So kudos to you, Michaela. I'm definitely on top of that.
So what would you give it, Joey? Tarek, what would you give it as far as like you know, the first three episodes out of five stars? What would you give it right now?
I give it 3.5.
3.5? So you're there. You're there for
I give it 3.5. Yeah. I'm definitely there for the rest. It's kind of similar to The Boys. So I'm looking to see how it distinguishes itself. It kind of has already. You see a lot more superheroes, whereas in The Boys, it's more like the normal people. How do they think of the superheroes? So it definitely, you know, leaves on good cliffhangers. The action's great. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I definitely give it like, I'm probably a little biased because it's animated and I enjoy the animated stuff. But I'd definitely give it a 4. We're about the same there.
Yeah.
You know, definitely there for more. And I hope you guys catch up
great
and watch
cast.
It so we can get into
it
more.
It's a great cast, so yeah. I know that I'll probably follow
yeah.
up with it.
Try, watching it. Class, I think yeah. you guys enjoy it. I think you guys will enjoy it very much. Let's see. What else we got on the plate today? Let's show the Suicide Squad Red Band trailer live for everyone here.
Remove the children
from
the room.
Remove the children from the room. This is rated R, ladies and gentlemen, okay? If you have not watched the Red Band trailer for Suicide Squad, we're going to run it right now. Here we go.
Entire mission for a mental defective dressed as a court jester.
This is coming from a guy that wears a toilet seat on his head.
We don't leave one of our own behind.
Hopefully Harley's still alive.
No funny business, Colonel. These are dangerous people.
Team 2 is clear to go.
Fire. 3, 2.
What are you guys doing?
What?
You. We're here to save you.
You were gonna save me?
It was a really good plan, too.
Well, I can go back inside and you can still do it.
That's patronizing.
I'm so sorry. Harley Quinn.
Bloodsport.
You know the deal. Successfully complete the mission, you get 10 years off your sentence.
Times are hard.
You fail to follow my orders in any way, and I detonate the explosive device in the base of your skull.
Do the job for free.
So this is the famous Suicide Squad.
I like it.
Nom.
Any questions?
Hand?
Yes, that is your hand. Very good.
We're all gonna die.
I hope so.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Here's the deal. We fail the mission, you die.
If we find out any information you give us is false, you die.
If we find out you have personalized license plates, you die.
What? No.
If you cough without covering your mouth.
Harley, although that isn't an open invitation for you to cough without covering your mouth.
What's the plan?
What the hell am I supposed to know?
You're the leader. You're supposed to be decisive.
And I've decided that you should eat a big bag of dicks.
If this whole beach was completely covered in dicks, and somebody said I had to eat every dick until the beach was clean for liberty, I would say no problemo.
Why would someone put penises all over the beach?
Who knows why madmen do what they do?
This is suicide.
Well, that's kind of our thing.
Don't you worry, eh? I'm gonna get you out of here alive.
I'm going to get you out of here alive.
Oh my god! We've got a freaking kaiju up in this shit!
Uh-huh. I don't wanna do your
dirty. We love the rain. Angels are splooting all over us.
Wow, wow. I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. What do you think? What do you think, guys?
Well, it's James Gunn, so I do enjoy what James Gunn has done so far. So we'll see. But I mean, I have a question for you guys.
What's
who
that?
Do you think is going to survive? Because James Gunn said
I think they're all
going to
die.
Don't get attached.
Don't get attached to nobody.
That's what he said.
That's a lot of disposable characters, except for maybe Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Well, he even said she was on the cutting board too.
Wow.
I don't see any way. I don't see any way, shape, or form Polka Dot Man survives this.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
I mean, it's very possible.
I think.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
King Shark probably ain't going to make it either.
No, I think King Shark will make it.
I don't know. I don't know. I have my doubts. I have my doubts. But definitely it's going to be a good time in the movies.
Sylvester Stallone.
At least
I can't
HBO
believe
Max.
It.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone is
the shark.
The shark. Shark. Yeah.
King Shark.
King,
yeah.
Shark. He's King Shark. King, yeah. Shark.
Yum, yum.
King Shark is a shark. But we know Peacemaker's
right. Weasel lasts.
Weasel dies.
What the other one he said? Who knows what madmen do? Or what? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't isn't there a
do the thing they do?
Isn't there a Peacemaker?
He's getting a show.
Yeah, there's a Peacemaker spinoff already planned. So,
well, yeah, it could be a prequel. It could be.
That's very true. It's very true. Well, probably Rick Flag.
I think they really like John Cena as Peacemaker. I heard a lot of people, you know, insiders say like how great of a job he does in this role. And that's why, I mean, obviously that's why he got the spinoff, so.
Yeah, Peacemaker seems like he might be a little similar to Rick Flag. So maybe Rick Flag dies and Peacemaker's the guy.
He's like a messed up Captain America, or I want to say more Homelander.
Yeah.
I like John Walker.
Yeah,
if
there
you think
go.
About the comics, he just right. To make, right.
Do anything for the greater.
Do anything
good.
For yeah.
I like it. I think it's going to be a good time. I think it's going to be good.
Fun.
At least fun.
James Gunn does a really good job at making you care about characters that you probably never cared about or never cared to read about.
Polka Dot Man.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I
think that's awesome though.
I just hope that the humor lands because from the trailer, the humor didn't hit me as much as maybe some other people. Yeah. I just hope that the humor lands because I loved Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Volume 2?
You're right. Yeah, the Volume 2.
Volume 2
struggled.
Was, yeah, strong.
And
yeah,
we got the first look at the bad guy in the movie, which is obviously going to be Starro.
Isn't
yeah.
that a Justice
it's
League?
It's a big star.
Yeah.
That's the original giant star Justice League villain.
That's actually the very first appearance of Justice League. Pulling out my comic book nerd card right now.
Yeah.
That's the first bad first villain or monster that the Justice League fought in their first appearance. Yep. So that's the first appearance issue that they actually had to team up together to defeat the Starro person.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad
monster, should I say.
I'm glad Warner Brothers just let James Gunn do what he wanted. And he really is going to be doing what he wants.
Yeah, I'm sure they were like, yeah. Oh, well, James,
whoever you want.
James Gunn, we will let you do whatever you want, except for, of course, you know, the Trinity. And
oh, I don't know. Yeah. They said anything he wanted, and he decided really? This. I think if he said he wanted to do a Batman movie, they would have let him do a Batman movie.
Or if they wanted Batman to come out, if he wanted Batman to come out on this, they probably could have done it too. I don't know.
I think
no, he still might. Who knows?
Who knows what's going to happen?
It's in the Snyderverse.
See, who's the executive producer of that? If it's Zack Snyder, I think it's all game on.
No,
all
I don't think
on.
He is. Is he? No,
I didn't
sure.
look. I don't look. But talking about something that they're working on and producing right now, a final cast list for the new Obi-Wan Kenobi Star Wars TV show. And I'm going to share the list for you guys so you guys can see it. It's actually on the official Star Wars Twitter account.
Mm.
Yes. Of course, Ewan McGregor is going to be reprising Obi-Wan.
Oh, my boy Han from Fast and Furious is in there.
Uh-huh,
the guy that's kind of dead.
Sung King. Right. Sung Kang. That's his name. And then Hayden Christensen will be coming back, obviously, as Darth.
I did want to make a big point out. Mm-hmm. Uncle Ben is going to be in it.
Is he?
Where?
Yeah, that's Uncle Ben right there in the corner. He was in the prequels.
Really?
The guy in the corner. There.
There's another image here that they shared.
Well, that confirms that we might see a baby Luke.
No, that'd be cool. Maybe. Why is that cool? I don't know why it is, but it sounds like it'd be cool.
Well, then we might see if Darth Vader did actually come back to try to get his son back.
Yo,
right.
Ice Cube's son is in this.
Yeah, so let me run it all down for anyone listening to the audio version of this podcast later on.
Oh, yes.
Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen, Moses Ingram, Joel Edgerton, Panese?
You can mess up that one.
Kamal Nanjiani.
He's funny.
Yeah. Andrea Varma, she was in Mandalorian, right? Wasn't she?
I don't remember.
Was she? I don't remember.
I think she was. I think she was the lady that fought what's her name? I might be wrong. Rupert Friend. O'Shea Jackson Jr.
O'Shea Jackson.
That's
Ice Cube's, Jr. Ice Cube's son.
Oh. There you go.
Yes. Sun Kang, Simone Cassell, and Benny Safdie. So far. I'm sure they'll make more announcements there, but I don't know if that's a full cast announcement
or not.
Not
bad.
And Vera Farmer was not in. She was not in.
No. Okay.
Mandalorian. No.
And she definitely looks like that same actress then.
Yeah. That's a great cast, man. That's a really good cast.
Yeah. And Kumail's doing Eternals too, so it's dope.
Yeah. He's also doing Eternals, yeah.
And Disney just loves him. Disney, yeah. He obviously did something right.
Get that bag, Kumail. I'm not mad at you.
For real.
Yeah. Get that money.
He's already muscular for it. They're like, might as well.
Yeah, they might as well throw him in something else. We can't waste right? those muscles on a romantic comedy.
You're just not funny anymore when you're muscular.
He's got to get you in something else. But I'm very much looking forward to the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. It's my favorite Star Wars character.
For me too, Tarek. I'm with you there. He's my favorite. I was actually, fun fact, I was actually at D23 when they announced it.
Really?
And I saw Ewan got up on the stage.
Nope.
That's dope.
I have a video of it. I love it. I cherish it.
All right. So let's get it to the rumor mill now, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to focus on a couple of Mikey Sutton scoops. You want all the scoops that he does every week? You go to geekositymag.com like I do, and you can do the same thing and read them on yourself. Okay. Deathstroke. Joe Manganiello. How do you say his last name? How did you guys do it?
Manganiello.
Manganiello. Yeah.
Manganiello reveals details on Ben Affleck Batman movie.
What would have been?
What would have been, or could be still?
Or could be?
Could be still, because that's another scoop that's there that talking about HBO Max really, 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 really wants a Batman Ben Affleck movie for HBO Max.
If they didn't piss off Ben Affleck too much,
well, let's see. You know, he did come back for some scenes there. So Deathstroke's Joe Manganiello. All right, I'm never going to
say it. Just say
Joe. Right. Just Joe. Has now revealed the details of Ben Affleck's abandoned Batman movie. Joe dropped thrilling plot elements during a Phase Zero podcast. According to the Deathstroke actor, he would have returned as one of DC's most lethal and popular villains, Deathstroke. Deathstroke's brief appearance as Zack Snyder's Justice League is among the most exciting teases in the movie. There was massive anticipation in seeing Deathstroke fight Batman even before the Snyder Cut. Moreover, the buzz towards such a movie was greater than the upcoming The Batman starring Robert Pattinson. However, Ben Affleck decided not to pursue it either as an actor or director. Shortly thereafter, Matt Reeves was announced to direct The Batman. Unfortunately, The Batman will be set outside established continuity. Ben Affleck's Dark Knight could be among the greatest comic book films never made on paper. Just seeing Ben Affleck trade fistcuffs with Joe Manganiello would be a must-see movie. But Joe explained there was much more to it than that. Let's see what he said. His quote, and he quotes, "There was like a big, huge showdown, I think, between Batgirl. Batgirl jumps in to try and help Bruce because Deathstroke is so fast. He can anticipate Bruce's movements. Apparently, Deathstroke also does something that many of Batman's villains haven't been able to do. Batman is completely afraid of Deathstroke. He met someone who can take him," Joe admits. "While it's a tad difficult imagining Batman afraid of anyone, it could have been a cool twist." There you go. And then Joe says, further elaborated, "This movie led to this big cinematic battle through the streets of Gotham in the end. It's like a real-life psychological thriller of Deathstroke. He was like a horror movie, like kind of like Jaws, you know? Like hunting Batman, I guess. I guess that's what the twist of what the movie that would have been. The Batflex show that would have been." What do you say, Tarek?
No. I'm not buying.
Things don't happen for a reason.
I'm not buying Batman scared of Deathstroke.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Man, I don't know.
I'm not buying Batman scared of Deathstroke without, and then Batgirl not being scared of Deathstroke.
Right.
I'm not buying that. He's already, here's the big Warner Brothers problem. You've already introduced Doomsday.
Right.
So it's the most deadliest figure in DC, probably. Next to Darkseid, maybe. So now Batman being scared of not scared of Doomsday, but scared of Deathstroke. I'm not buying that. I think the fight would have been great. I don't know if Deathstroke has enough levels to be a Batman villain. I'm sure they could have thought of some plot, but Deathstroke's a mercenary. So,
right.
You know, he doesn't really have motivation to like pull off crimes just to like, you know, destroy Gotham and stuff. He just like, whoever pays me, you know, at the end of the day, if I were Bruce Wayne, I would just pay him.
I mean, we saw the nightmare scene. Clearly, he's getting a paycheck.
Right.
Something. You're getting something. Or at least on life. What do you say, Joey? You think that all that flies with you or no?
I don't buy into Batman being afraid of Deathstroke. I would have paid to see them do a nice little showdown. After playing the Dark Knight was Batman Origins, Arkham Origins. There was a dope like fight scene that I played like fighting Deathstroke. So I would have been dope to see that on film. I like Joe Manganiello's take on the character. He looked just like him in Justice League, so I was pretty hyped to see what was going to come into fruition if Batflack actually kept going with the movies. But whatever, I mean, guess we'll never know.
Michaela,
I don't know. I don't think Joe even saw the finished cut of the script, so I don't even know if he even knows what was in the script. But I think it wouldn't be a I think what Ben Affleck would have done based on his previous work is it would have been not afraid of him killing, like Deathstroke killing Batman. It would be more afraid of seeing the similarities in him and seeing him as a bad guy. And he's like, oh, look at me. I killed Superman. This guy acts like me. It would be more of a psychological, like you were saying, not I'm afraid he's going to kill me because he's so fast.
I don't know.
He's got way too much money to do that. I mean, I guess with Lex Luthor funding Deathstroke from at the end of Justice League, if it was going to be in the Snyderverse, I could see him like, I don't even know. I just don't think that Joe read anything in the script.
I think the issue
I don't think
is an actor who probably didn't even read a full script trying to explain something that might have, could have, would have happened in a movie.
That's my issue with it. I'm like, dude, you don't know nothing.
Would have been filmed. You know what I mean? So I definitely take the whole quote with a grain of salt, whatever. I mean, maybe
he's not even an A-list to be like, not to be mean to Joe or anything, but if some people can't
that's
read
how you feel, Michaela.
You're not kidding. Sorry, Joe, the only thing going for you is you married Gloria from Modern Family. That's it.
Was that Sophie? Oh yeah, Sophie Vergara.
Yeah, wow, I
totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's
a very famous Dungeons and Dragons player as well. He does live Dungeons and Dragons like on Twitch with like actors and stuff like that.
That's insane.
And they act out their characters. You know, they act like their characters. You know, like with voices and stuff. Yeah.
Sorry, Joe. Yeah. You didn't read anything.
I got bad news for you. The PS3 store is about to close, so you better download all those. Yeah. They're finally closing the PS3, the PS Plus, the PS Vita downloads.
Wow.
So, you know, you guys, if you've been holding on like Tarek, it's time to
I don't have a PS4 yet, I'm clearly not using a PS3. I didn't know PS3 had a store.
Actually, I bought a lot of games on PS3, so I'm literally going to go probably right now to like a pawn shop or something and try and get a PS3 just so I could re-download all those games. I spent a lot of money on games for the PS3. I need to have those copies.
First world problems.
Right. one more Mikey Sutton scoop before we close the door on all that stuff. Falcon and Winter Soldier plants seeds for Luke Cage reboot.
No. Mm. Boo, boo, boo.
What do you think?
Not like that.
No? Why not?
I'm not a fan of that. Like,
what, the cop scene? I'm kidding.
No, I just think I don't think they're gonna reboot pretty much what happened, how he was turned to Luke Cage. I think they're gonna.
I feel like that's a reach though. Like, so much on their plate for the next couple years. Like, Luke Cage Easter egg right now is not it. Like, give me mutants. Like, Madripoor is gonna be in the next episode. Zemo is gonna be in the next episode. Putting them on, I guess, to Madripoor and this diluted super soldier serum. Give me X-Men stuff. Well,
I think it goes back to what they did in a Netflix show. Like, there was obviously people, that were experimenting with Luke Cage. So that goes back to now the super soldier problem that they're having right now, Falcon Winter Soldier. You know, bunch of doctors trying to figure out, make the super soldier serum better. You know what I mean? Maybe they experimented with him. You know,
he's
the baby Yoda of the series.
Yeah,
they better They need to keep the same Luke Cage.
I think they can. Yeah. I think they could do it. I think they could do it and keep it. Okay, yes, he was And they need to definitely keep the actor. I just think, you know.
But it's probably like the continuity, like, where does that fall? You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know. That's up to the writers there. I don't know how that's going to happen. But
I think Mikey loves the Netflix series, but I don't think all of them are going to make it.
I don't think so either.
No.
Daredevil, yes, because it was a very, very popular show.
In that article, now you're talking about Daredevil, in that article, he didn't mention that their powers kind of were kind of like the same, similar, as far as like there were chemically, like Jessica Jones was experimented on somehow. I forget how it was that happened, when she was younger or something like that by her father or something like that.
That may be in the comic books, but in the show, it was the truck.
So her was chemicals. Daredevil was chemicals. Luke Cage got experimented when he was in jail. I mean, you know, so it's like,
And then Iron Fist was what?
Iron Fist was whatever. Spirit. I don't know. That was.
Yeah. Reboot.
Yeah, we could reboot that. Oh, man. So let's get into some gaming stuff before we head out. You shared this, actually, Michaela. We have Sony PlayStation Productions, Ghost of Tsushima. Is that how you say it?
Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima movie. John Wick's Clad Stileski. He's the director, I guess. He was the director for John Wick,
For one of them.
He's producing this movie. Mm-hmm. Have you played the game, Tarek? I mean,
I have not. Well, yeah. I have played the game, but not like I played the game because it was so popular that someone was playing it, and I was like, I got to get my hands on it.
Oh, okay. What about you, Joey?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
game.
So you owned it. You did it. You beat it. Good.
I didn't beat it all the way through because PS5 came out, and I had to, you know, it had to be sacrificed for the greater good afford and pay less on the PS5.
You can play it on PS5.
Yeah, I could. So I still have saved game data. So I'm gonna get I definitely want to download it. But I've been streaming and playing a lot of Call of Duty lately, so I definitely wanna. And I want to dive back into Avengers too, because Avengers is now going to do the DLC where you can. They're going to do a huge rollout for Black Panther.
Okay.
For the game, so it's going to be dope. I'm hyped for that.
Interesting. What about you, Michaela? You're the one who brought it, so I know you must
have
played the game.
I don't play it. No? But I was going to ask you guys if you played it. Do you think that it's worthwhile to make a movie out of it? Do you think they could do a good one with the creator? One of the directors of John Wick.
Yeah, honestly, I'm sorry to cut you off, Terry. I think if they do somebody similar to like a guy, if they find a guy like how they found the guy to play Shang-Chi, I think it'd be dope.
In the rough, yeah.
Yeah, find that diamond in the rough and get like a dope martial artist in that sense, or a great, you know, actor that can portray that role perfect. I think it'd be solid. Like, the story was really good. I really dug the story of the game. So, I mean, to make it a movie, I think it'd be a nice transition if they stay, you know.
And it's going to be Amazon. I sent you. I forgot
it's going to be on Amazon? Service. Oh, I'm with that. Yeah, be honest.
I'm not sure exactly where it's going to be.
And with Amazon, they're even making more game shows out of games.
This is going to be
the announced, like, a whole big. Mm-hmm, yeah, they announced, like, three of them. This was the most recent. Like
a lot of people created IP here and get them knocks and them calls.
Yeah, I think
we're moving away from books.
Well, here's the thing. I think people are trying to find the next thing. They see Marvel, you know, cashing out on a bunch of things, and DC's like, you know, pretty much sort of picking back up now that Justice League has come out. I think they want to find the next big thing, and I heard that they want to reboot Resident Evil, things like that. So everybody's diving back into the games. You got the Uncharted movie ready to come out soon with Tobey Maguire and Mark Wahlberg in it, which is really dope. So, and Mortal Kombat in a month. So, I mean, this is, it's a good time to be, not only for video games, but like just for, you know, that, the culture of comics and
definitely
games.
Crossing over to pop culture, more video games, definitely.
Which is really cool.
We were talking about Call of Duty. You want to say something, Tarek? Sorry.
I agree with everyone. I think it's actually a great idea to do this film. And it's going to be on Amazon, especially, you can do, I mean, you know, in the anime community, there's like a big debate, dubs versus sub. I think if you did this movie with the subtitles, I know it would turn off some people, but if you did it like, that's the easiest way to not have to try to find an American speaking actor who knows all this stuff. And the other one is to put the subs on it. That'd be a unique experience, but I can understand why you wouldn't do that. But I think it'll be a great opportunity. for them to expand.
No, I think it'll be great, man. I know a lot of people like Joey that love the game, so I'm sure it's just going to be a good time, especially if the movie's done well. Talking about more gaming stuff, Battlefield 6. You got into Battlefield, Joey?
Nah, I never really got into
Battlefield.
It.
I like Battlefield because you can fly in and out of planes and parachute out, jump out of it and bail out. Or somebody's in a plane or a tank, you can jump into like an anti-aircraft machine gun and blow them out. You know, there's a rock, paper, scissors to everything wherever you're at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know Battlefield has a nice, solid, you know, cult fan base sense. I just feel like Call of Duty's kind of mastered and kind of got a grip on the whole thing. It's kind of like, here's the thing. It's not saying that it's better than Call of Duty's better than Battlefield, but it goes back to the whole EA Sports owning, like having the rights.
Versus NBA 2K.
Versus 2K thing. Because it's, you know, the Madden rights, like NFL 2K, to me, in my opinion, is still one of the best. NFL 2K5 was the last.
Was that the one on Dreamcast?
It was on. The first two was on Dreamcast, and then when Dreamcast went out, they kept making up until 2005, and that was the last great like NFL game, in my opinion. I think it's still better than like some of the Madden stuff that's out right now. But you know, EA Sports pulled out that checkbook and said, "Yo, NFL, we want the rights," and they've had the rights ever since. I don't know how long the license lasts. I heard, you know, NFL is going to be talking to 2K real soon, but it just goes to that me saying, like, you know, I think Call of Duty, and they've built such a huge brand that it's hard for people to kind of differentiate themselves from playing that and playing Battlefield. So I think Battlefield doesn't get it's not that it gets a bad rep. I just think that it's like the unpopular choice.
I see. Yeah. Kind of like buying a Reeboks.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. For real.
It's the odd brand.
The odd brand. Yeah. It's like,
it's not a bad brand, but it's just not the popular one. It's not Nike.
Right. Yeah.
They got to, like you said before,
you can't resell Reeboks.
What about you, Tarek? You ever played some old Battlefield before?
I've played Battlefield before. I think the last one I played was 4, something like that. But what Joey's saying is right. You want to go on and play with people who have the game. So everybody gets Call of Duty, not just Battlefield. More or less people get it, but you can't play against as many people now that you know. So if you're cool with that, it's a great game. But if you're going to drop that 70 or whatever, most people are going to spend it on Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's true. What about you, Michaela?
I played briefly, but I mean, I know more people that have Call of Duty, like Tarek was saying, like who it's all about hype. When you're talking about video games and even movies and all that, whoever has it and is playing it, they're not going to be in the desert, you know, playing Battlefield by themselves.
I always had a hard time getting people to play with me playing Battlefield. That's definitely a fact.
Right, and it costs so much money. You know, you're dishing out Miss Money.
I would buy the newest Battlefield and be like, oh, and like two or three people will be able to play with me. You know what I mean? So, but supposedly Battlefield 6 is dropping. So I brought it up. They're coming out with their own Battle Royale mode, a la Warzone, you know, Fortnite, you know, vibes. That supposedly is going to be a Warzone killer. Warzone killer. That everybody's going to dump Warzone for this new Battlefield 6. Then it could be also another free-to-play thing, too.
They said that or someone else said that?
No, this is the rumor.
I was going to say, rumor, like,
the rumor in the video game world is that this Battlefield 6 Battle Royale mode is a Warzone killer that is going to shake the game. It's going to pull the people away from Warzone.
Well, EA Sports, I want to send us a demo of this because I definitely am down to try and see what y'all talking about.
Yeah.
Listen, that's...
Go ahead, Tarek.
That's their opportunity. They have to find a way to wrestle people away from Call of Duty. And if they can provide this new experience, you might get some people who say, man, I'm done with Call of Duty. I'm tired of that playing with 12-year-olds and go over to Battlefield. You know, you never know.
Talking spicy, too. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I see a lot of issue with, you know, the too much of the comparisons, because then if Call of Duty is going to be the superior over here, they're going to be like, oh, well, I like it better on Call of Duty. If they have too many things that are similar, if they have to, I think they got to like really distinguish themselves to be different.
Battlefield has a weird, like I said, the rock, paper, scissors kind of thing. Like, okay, you're in a plane, I get into an anti-aircraft gun. If you know, you're in a ship, okay, I'll change my class to a bazooka. You know what I mean? So I can blow you away. You know what I mean? So it's it has that going for itself, where it's kind of like, you know, Call of Duty, you get called on a kill streak, whatever, you're dead. You know what I mean? Unless you got to, like, you know what I'm saying? It's, like, really hard to, like, find a counter and use it against somebody in the game. Where Battlefield seems like it's more seamless, like it's very fast for you to find the solution to destroy those people.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to say Battlefield for smarter people, Speedy? That's what you're trying to say?
Well, no, I don't know. No, I don't want to say that. it definitely requires some thought. So does Warzone 2. All the games require some thought. What requires more thought, though, is Cyberpunk 2077, which is apparently still a horror story for anybody who has it on console. I don't know about the new consoles, though, PS5 or it should run those fine, you know? It should run. But if you have
They don't have the kinks out.
Yeah, they don't have the kinks out. But supposedly, there's a big, big, gigantic fix patch that's coming soon, also for the PC as well. Yeah, so I guess they can all cross-play or whatever. I mean, you think there's still time to salvage this game, Joey?
For Battlefield?
Yeah, no, for Battlefield. For Cyberpunk.
For Cyberpunk.
Yeah, for the consoles. Because obviously on PC, it's been working fine for the PC people.
Yeah, I heard it works a lot better on PC, consoles.
I don't know about PS5
I don't like it at all.
Okay, you did run it?
Yeah, I dumped the game. I'm good on
that. So you're done?
I'm done.
So now no patch, nothing? So no. Bring it back?
No, I'm not feeling it at all. Mm. I totally tapped out, like, the first. Like, I gave it probably one good run, maybe two or three good runs, and then I was like, you know what, I'm not even thrilled playing this game.
Did you touch it,
Michaela? My brother did. He likes the PC version.
Okay, so
of it. He's the PC a really big PC they're on. Fan.
And
they've really done it well on that.
Yeah. So I don't know, Tarek. Have you ever heard that before? A patch coming and saving a game after it's been panned.
Well, I not to this level. I think it's kind of unprecedented. They had so many errors, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, so did the PS5 in general. Yeah. So I think people who bought it will try to salvage. I think a lot of people will try to salvage, but I don't see them running out and telling everybody, "Oh, you should go get it now because they fixed everything." I see them saying, "Okay, they salvaged the game, but I'm mad," and so they're not going to go and spread the word, and it's not going to. I think it's more of a goodwill thing now for the game developer for the next thing they do. You know, at least we fixed it.
Yeah, yeah. I went to I was at Walmart the other day, and there was literally like 100 deep stack of that copies of those games, not on sale, sitting in the stock in Walmart. You know where they have them on the bottom, locked up.
Yeah,
like there was literally like 100 copies down there, and no other copies of any other game. Like literally, like nobody was buying that game at all.
Wow.
Yeah, or at least for the console. So. I don't know. I think that boat has sailed, to be honest with you. At least
more
for
people buying
console
Sack
people.
Boy than that,
or Fall Guys. Yeah. Probably had a better time in the video game system. Tarek, let them know how they can follow you and keep up with you, sir.
My name is Tarek on Instagram and Tarek Lewis on YouTube.
Michaela,
Instagram Mika Fig. I'm on YouTube at Adult Adventure Time and on B Pod Studios Theme Parks and Rec Podcast.
Some Joey Franchise.
Yeah, just at Joey Franchise on Twitter, Instagram, and on Twitch.
With a Z. That's right. Get it right. Follow me, My External Life, DJ at DJ Speedy JR, all socials. Also at Game 2 as well, Speedy Junior Gaming on Twitch too. You can follow me at DJ Speedy JR. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the live show. Follow us. Give us a like on the Facebook. Three words, Geek Culture Congress on Instagram. Put it all together. Geek Culture Congress. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the live show. Everyone on Checkpoint XP, my man Red Lodge 5, thank you so much for chiming in. And next time, guys, you want to chime in too, feel free to do so on the chat. Everyone listening to the audio version of this podcast, thank you so much. And you can follow the audio version too. We do even more episodes. I do New Comic Book Day tomorrow, which is run down all the new comic books that are coming out for the week. And interviews and surprise things and much, much more. So make sure you follow the audio podcast as well. And just search for us, Geek Culture Congress, wherever you listen to your podcast. Okay. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the live show. Everyone have a good one. Be safe.
Peace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.